Almighty God, we bow before you this morning, not because we are worthy, but because of Jesus. We come before you not because we have anything to offer, but because Jesus has offered everything perfectly. He has done everything on our behalf, and we simply come through Jesus to the throne of grace where we find mercy and grace in our time of need. We worship you, we adore you. We want to worship you not only as we sing these songs, we want to worship you by growing as we open your word, and we want to worship you as we go out of this room and serve you in the neighborhoods that you've placed us in. So please take our hearts and our minds and our lives now and open them to your spirit, to the truth of your word. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you all, choir, and those of you in the orchestra, and Tim, for leading us in worship this morning. Our worship has all been about Jesus, because he is worthy. Hebrews begins by telling us that he is the exact image of the Father. He not only created everything, but he still holds everything in the universe by the might of his power. And yet Jesus humbled himself. It's that stark reality of Jesus as king, but Jesus also as the one who would humble himself to die in our place that is so unlike the world around us. Jesus was not into self-promotion. He never put himself forward, never demanded recognition. And boy, that is such a natural tendency for us, isn't it? Our culture revolves around it. You know, you think of, we're a culture here in America that celebrates celebrities. And people don't become celebrities by not putting themselves forward, do they? I'm not a big one for watching TV or anything, but I was thinking about red carpets here in America. It could be a red carpet going up to maybe when the president has a guest and they walk down a red carpet, or a red carpet at something like the Oscars. You know, when people think of the Oscars for a minute. When they walk down that carpet, I don't think that's how they walk when they're at home, is it? I mean, I wonder who teaches them. I wonder if they how hard they practice it. They pose for those pictures. Sometimes I see those pictures, you know, on the newspaper, and I think, who taught you to stand that way? It's all about promoting ourselves to look a certain way. I was reading an article about the Oscars this past year. The average, they said A-list, I don't even know what A-list is. The average A-list actor who walked down that red carpet had spent $10 million getting ready for that event. $10 million to present yourself the right way. And then we read Hebrews chapter 5. And verse 5. So also Christ Jesus did not exalt himself to be made a high priest, but was appointed. Talk about countercultural. A model for us to imitate. We just heard Michael Williams' testimony because he's been nominated to be an elder. Next week we'll hear another testimony of someone nominated to be an elder. They're nominated. They don't put themselves out. They don't start a campaign. In fact, when I ask them to please come and give their testimonies, many times elders, people who've been nominated, are pretty hesitant. Jesus calls us to imitate him. But as we look at Hebrews 5 this morning, I hope you will be stunned by two things. the humility of this king who will not promote himself, who will not try to exalt himself to get a position, and yet the splendor of this high king who is also a high priest. You think of Jesus as he walked the paths of Israel. He didn't make a big to-do of himself. He walked with a group of men and women that he had chosen to follow him, who were, by and large, people who would have been overlooked, walked right past by most other people. And even that sort of ragtag group of men and women that Jesus walked with, calling them his disciples, there were times when even they looked at others in the crowd as less worthy than they were. Remember when there's a blind man near Jericho and he's screaming out, "Son of David, Son of David, Son of David," and they go and try to hush him. Shh, 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 don't bother him. What did Jesus do? He calls him. Or the time when mothers were bringing their children to Jesus and that group of disciples tried, no, he's too important, he's too busy. And Jesus says, don't stop them. A couple weeks ago, we were looking at the truth that we are never invisible to him. We're naked, we're exposed, and yet he still draws us to himself. He loves us. Jesus was not about self-promotion. So why is it then that the calendars, no matter where you go in the world, are determined by the birth of Jesus? Now, many of them these days will not say B.C. and A.D. They'll say, before the Common Era. It's still turning around the birth of Jesus. Why? Why is it that Jesus' name is known to the ends of the earth, but those people walking down the red carpets in Hollywood are not? It's because he is Father exalted, not self exalted. He never exalted himself. Instead, he was appointed to his positions. We've seen in chapter 1 the exaltation of Jesus, the wonder of Jesus, the express image, the very radiance of God holding all of the universe together. It ends in chapter 1, the last verse, saying he is seated upon his throne and all of the angels are his ministers, his servants. Chapter 2, we get a glimpse of another part of Jesus. It was right for him to be made in the likeness of us who were to become his brothers and sisters. Chapter 3 and 4, we've seen that Jesus invites us to come and rest because, as we saw last week, he's been here, he's won this victory, and so he invites us to come and rest. He invites us into the presence of his Father. Now we begin to look at Jesus as the great high priest. And we're going to spend several weeks unpacking this. It is a theme that continues throughout all of Scripture. But as this picture of Jesus as our great high priest is introduced, we are taken back to those two themes that we've already seen. The high authority of Jesus, chapter 1, and the humility of Jesus. And they come together in verses 1 to 6 of chapter 5. The first thing we see is that the high priest was someone who was supposed to represent men before God. And so speaking of any Jewish high priest among the Israelite nation, we get this synopsis. For the original hearers, this would have all have been something they know. It would have been a review. For many of us, this might be sort of new information. Beginning with verse 1, chapter 5, if you're using the Bible in front of you, page 1003, this is what it says. For every high priest chosen from among men is appointed to act on behalf of men in relation to God. two really important things there. They're chosen and appointed. And what is their role? Their role is to act on behalf of men, to represent men to God, to offer sacrifices. This is how they do it, to offer gifts and sacrifices for sins. We will see as we make our way through the book of Hebrews that the centerpiece of the role of the great high priest was to come on the Day of Atonement, which is unpacked for us in Leviticus chapter 16. One of those books that when you're reading through the Bible, you say, can I make my way through Leviticus? You want to hit Leviticus. It is rich, it is powerful, and right there in the middle, Leviticus chapter 16 is the Day of Atonement. Without that, we have no hope. The high priest on the Day of Atonement would dress in his high priestly vestments and garb. He would come to the altar. The rest of the people would keep a distance. He would come to the altar. He would offer two sacrifices. One, first of all, for him and for his family, his relatives, and then one for the nation. He would take the blood of those sacrifices behind the veil into the Holy of Holies. He could only do that once a year, and sprinkle that blood on the mercy seat. Mercy seat. Go back to chapter 4, the last verse. This is where we were last week. Let us then, with confidence, draw near to the throne of grace that we may receive what? Mercy. And find grace to help in time of need. How do we draw near? Because the verse before it says we have a high priest who can sympathize with our weakness in every way, tempted as we are, but without sin. Tremendously important. Without sin, because he's without sin, he allows us to come before the throne, which is a throne of mercy. It's taking us back to the Day of Atonement, where the high priest would enter into the Holy of Holies and sprinkle that blood on the mercy seat. What was the mercy seat? The mercy seat was the covering of the Ark of the Covenant. The Ark of the Covenant was in the Holy of Holies, and it had a cover on it, made of gold. That cover was called the mercy seat. The blood would be sprinkled on the mercy seat. We now come before the throne of mercy, where we receive mercy and grace for us in times of need. Okay, so let's keep going. This high priest, every high priest, was to offer gifts and sacrifices for sins. Verse 2, he can deal gently with the ignorant and the wayward, since he himself is beset with weakness. The picture of dealing gently with them means the high priest was never to be higher than thou, holier than thou, haughty, was never to feel like, I've got a unique, powerful position among the Israelites. I am above the rest of you. No, he was always to remember he is a sinner too. He is from among the people to represent the people before God. That's why he had to personally offer sacrifices for his own sins before he offered sacrifices for the sins of the nation. Now you remember verse 15 of chapter 4, Jesus is our high priest, tempted in every way as we are, yet without sin. There is a likeness between the other high priests, but not a sameness. Not exactly the same. They were what the Bible calls types of. They were models of, pictures of. Jesus is the antitype. That means Jesus is the reality. He's the real thing. So they had to offer sacrifices for their own sins because they were sinners. We've just been told Jesus was without sin. He offered sacrifice, but it's only for our sin, never for his own. Verse 3, because of this, still talking about the high priests of Israel, he is obligated to offer sacrifice for his own sin just as he does for those of the people. The picture is the Day of Atonement. Now, on the Day of Atonement, he was representing the people of God before the mercy seat of God, not only through the sacrifices, but through his very clothes. I wanted to put a picture on the screen, but all the pictures I see of people trying to imagine what a high priest looked like, they look pretty chintzy. So just imagine, okay? High priest had high priestly vestments that only the high priest could wear. They were made of linen. They were woven with very, very special threads. But what is important for this, what is important for us right now, is epaulets. There were two epaulets, one on each shoulder, with an onyx stone sewn onto those epaulets. And on the stone on one side were engraved the names of six of the tribes of Israel. On the stone on the other side, the other six tribes of Israel. Why? Because as he enters into the Holy of Holies, he is representing all of the people of Israel. Not only that, but he wore a breastplate over his tunic, and this breastplate had 12 stones, and on each of the 12 stones represented a different tribe of Israel. So his clothing showed that he is representing the people to God. He's acting on behalf of them before God. He also wore a special turban, and on that turban in the front was a golden plate, and that golden plate read, "Holy to the Lord." The high priest was to be set apart for the use of God alone, but he was also representing the people who were called the people of God, chosen to be holy to the Lord. Take that to 1 Peter. We are to be holy just as he is holy. You see, these Old Testament pictures, even from the book of Leviticus, are picked up all the way through the New Testament. And here we have this picture of the high priest on the Day of Atonement representing people before God. All of us have probably been in a situation where we were going to meet somebody important, maybe we really wanted to meet them, somebody that we didn't know, and so we've asked somebody else who does have a connection with them, can you just introduce me to them? You know, I need an introduction. We've all probably been there in one way or another. Can you imagine for a moment being called into the presence of the Almighty God? The God who created everything, who holds everything together, the God who is perfectly holy, he created you, he created me, and we're called into his presence, and we are rebellious sinners. That would be terrifying. The Bible tells us that instantly we would be consumed because he cannot tolerate sin. But Jesus, as a high priest acting on our behalf, we enter into the presence of God because Jesus, who is perfect, who is without sin, made a sacrifice of himself for our sin. He allows us entry into the presence of the Holy Father. So we read things like 1 John chapter 2, 1 and 2. If anyone does sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous. He is the propitiation for our sins. That means he is the one who sets aside the righteous wrath of God against us as sinners. Jesus sets it aside because he paid for it, not only ours, but for the sins of the whole world. Jesus' death on the cross, his sacrifice on the cross, was enough to forgive all the sins of all the people. It doesn't mean that everyone in the whole world is going to be presented before God through Jesus, because not everyone believes in Jesus. It's effective for only those who believe in Jesus. It's available to everybody, but it's only effective for those who trust in Jesus. The high priest's role was to represent men before God. But the high priest had to be called and appointed by God. Never self-appointed. Had to be called and appointed by God. We saw that in the first verse of chapter 5. Every high priest is chosen from among men and is appointed. They're chosen and appointed. They don't appoint themselves. They don't choose themselves. Down in verse 5, let's go to verse 4 first. And no one takes this honor for himself, being the high priest, only when called by God, just as Aaron was. Nobody self-appoints. Now, what is he saying, just as Aaron was? Well, back in Exodus chapter 28, God said to Moses, I want you to bring Aaron and his sons before me, before the tent of the meeting, the tabernacle, because I have chosen them to be priests. And Aaron will be the high priest. And they were set apart for that work. God chose them. They did not choose themselves. So just as Aaron was chosen by God, appointed by God, that's how every high priest was to be. Now, there had been exceptions. In fact, there had been a lot of exceptions. At the time when Aaron was the high priest, in Numbers, we have the story of another priest, another Levite, whose name was Korah. And Korah wants to become like Aaron. So in Numbers, we have this story, Numbers chapter 16. Korah says to Moses and to Aaron, "You guys have gone way too far. All of the people of Israel are holy to the Lord. Not just you guys, we all are. Stop trying to take control." Think about it for a moment. Korah liked democracy. We're all equal, right? We all got a say. Moses said, "Okay, let's go to the tent of meeting and let's stand before God and see what he says." Moses and Aaron stand there, and then Korah comes with his two buddies, Abihu and Dathan, and they stand over here, and they're all standing before the Lord, and God speaks. I would not have wanted to hear God's voice. He apparently spoke loud enough for everybody to hear. He says, "Say to the congregation, get away from the dwelling of Korah, Dathan, and Abiram." So all of the people get far away from them. They're standing there. We're told later that they're standing there with their wives, their children, their families. They're all standing together. Now, they have gotten a bunch of people to go with them. Korah had actually gotten 250 leaders of the Israelites. He had been campaigning to become a high priest as well. But when everyone moves away, the earth simply opens up and swallows them. Why? Self-appointed to a position of high priest, not God-appointed. How many of us try to put ourselves in positions of influence? Try to promote ourselves. Isn't it really hard to let somebody else get the credit for something that you actually did and people don't know that? It really is hard to keep your mouth shut, isn't it? Our society says, put yourself out there. Promote yourself. Boy, Jesus set a different pattern for us. He did not exalt himself, chapter 5, verse 5. He did not exalt himself to this position at all. The high priest had to be called and had to be appointed. Jesus stood before Caiaphas, a high priest who was really a politician. He had the rank that day. But Caiaphas had been appointed by a Roman governor together with Herod's family, and he had lobbied for that position. Jesus stood before Caiaphas knowing that he was actually the high priest, not Caiaphas. And Caiaphas, he was silent before him, Matthew 26. Caiaphas, the high priest, said to him, "I adjure you by the living God, tell us if you are the Christ," that's the Messiah, the Son of God. And Jesus said to him, "I have said so. I tell you, from now on, you will see the Son of Man seated at the right hand of power and coming on the clouds of heaven." He's quoting Daniel chapter 7. Jesus is not only saying that he is the Son of God, he is saying that he is the King. He takes those two pictures from the first three chapters of Hebrews, that Jesus is the high exalted king who sits on a throne, but he also humbled himself so that he can become a high priest, and they are molded together. You see, Jesus was appointed both high king and high priest. That's what's stunning about verse 5 to me, because you can sort of expect, we've already been introduced that Jesus is the high priest, that we saw that at the end of chapter 4. But verse 5 says, "So also Christ did not exalt himself to be made a high priest, but he was appointed by him who said, 'You are my son, today I've begotten you.' And he says in another place, 'You are a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek.'" What is "you are my son, today I've begotten you" have to do with becoming a high priest? Jesus is being appointed by God, the Father, not only as high priest, but also as high king. He's both. We know that because we trace these verses to the Old Testament. As high king, he acts on behalf of the Father over men. He leads and controls as sovereign over us. That's his role as high king. As a high priest, he will do the inverse. As a high priest, he's going to act on behalf of men before the Father. He represents the Father to us. He represents us to the Father. Jesus is everything. Apart from Jesus, we have nothing. So how do we know that this is talking about Jesus as both high king and high priest? First of all, we're told, "You are my son. Today I have begotten you." Where is that from? That's from Psalm chapter 2. Most of your Bibles will probably have a little note there that is Psalm chapter 2. Listen to Psalm chapter 2, the second psalm, how it begins. "Why do the nations rage? Why do the peoples plot in vain?" Goes on to say, "The kings of the earth raise their fist against God." They rage. "We don't need you. We will run things ourselves." Does that sound like rulers today? "We've got this. If there is a God, we don't need him." Why do the nations rage? Look at verse 4 of Psalm 2. What does it say? "He who sits in the heavens does what? He laughs." Why? "The Lord holds them in derision." Go down to verse 6. This is the quote we just read. God says, "As for me, I have set my king on Zion, my holy hill." God has set his king on Zion. And who is that king? "I will tell the decree. The Lord said to me, 'You are my son. Today I have begotten you.'" This is the high king. This is Jesus. God says, "The nations can rage all they want, but I have set Jesus as high king, and so I just laugh at these nations and these rulers and these kings and these presidents and these dictators. I just laugh at them because my king has already been appointed. My king is already reigning, and he is my son. Today I have begotten you." That doesn't mean he was born. Jesus always has been, always will be. What that means is, "I have placed you in this position today. You are high king." Jesus is high king. On behalf of God, he rules over men and women, mankind. Jesus is high king. But then Hebrews says, and somewhere else, I think it's interesting that the Holy Spirit writes it that way. Somewhere else, he says, he wants us to go look for it. Where is that somewhere else? It's Psalm 110, where he says, "You are a priest forever in the order of Melchizedek." Now, you look at Psalm 110, and we see a high king and a high priest once again. Psalm 110 begins this way: "The Lord says to my Lord," Jesus used that in Matthew 22, "The Lord says to my Lord," Jesus went to the Hebrew leaders, the Jewish leaders, and he said, "Why is it that David, who wrote this psalm, says, 'Yahweh, the Lord, says to my Lord,' how can David's descendant be David's authority?" David's Lord. Because the Messiah, who would come through David's line, is far more superior to, he's always been superior to David. So Jesus quotes that first part, but keep going. What does it say? "Sit at my right hand until I make your enemies your footstool." We already read that in Hebrews, Hebrews chapter 1, verse 13, where Jesus is seated on the throne. To whom of the angels did he ever say, "Sit at my right hand till I make your enemies a footstool"? None of them, only Jesus, because he's high king. Look at verse 2. "The Lord, Yahweh, sends forth from Zion your mighty scepter." He's talking about the high king. He's talking about Jesus. He has a mighty scepter, and he says, "Rule in the midst of your enemies." Then you get down to verse 4. "The Lord has sworn he will not change his mind. You, the high king, are a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. You see, this Jesus who would never exalt himself but waited to be appointed, he is both high king and high priest. So far superior to anyone else who has ever existed. Hebrews 5 draws these two pictures together, which at that time the Jewish community struggled with. They saw in the Old Testament a messianic king who would rule. They also had pictures of a Messiah who would be a spiritual leader. Most of them, like if you read in the Qumran, where we get the Dead Sea Scrolls, that community thought they must be two different people. What does the Holy Spirit tell us? They are not two different people. This is one. His name is Jesus, who never exalted himself. The Father says, "You are my son. You are the king I have appointed over all of the kings of the earth." And the Father says, "You are also a priest after the order of Melchizedek." Now, we're not going to go into in depth this morning what the order of Melchizedek is for two reasons. It's 12 o'clock. Some of you are ready to go. And because in the next few weeks, we're going to unpack that a lot. You don't need it twice. But let me give you one really important thing here. Melchizedek was also a king and a priest. He was a king of a city named Salem, almost certainly Jerusalem. He was a king of Salem. He was also a high priest. So that even Abraham, Genesis 14, brings tithes and presents them to Melchizedek. Jesus, you are now appointed as a priest after the order of Melchizedek, who was a king and a priest. But you are the high king and you are the high priest. Never exalting himself. And yet the most exalted one. That causes us to bow, I hope, in absolute worship. The one who became so humble that he would become a human being and die for you and me so that we can have access to God Almighty is also the High King. One other takeaway for us, if Jesus behaved this way, never self-appointed, how much more do we need to do the same? As God's children, it is not our place to be vying for positions of authority and recognition. God chooses, God appoints, God gives us roles to do, but we all have a high king and a high priest. Thank God it's Jesus. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we bow before you. So different are you than all the people, all the leaders, all the celebrities around us. So different are you than us, than me. Because we want people to see us. We want attention. We want to be recognized. We even put our own name out there for positions of leadership and authority. You never exalted yourself. Instead, you humbled yourself and became a servant. Teach us to do the same. But Lord Jesus, we worship you because you are both our high king, ruling on behalf of your Father over us, and our high priest, representing us before your Father. Apart from you, Lord Jesus, we have nothing. But in you, we have access to the throne of mercy. We worship you, and we come only in your name, your beautiful name, Jesus. Amen.